Thought. From Wikipedia. The Free Encyclopedia. At en.wikipedia.org. Thought generally refers to any intellectual or mental activity. It can refer either to the act of thinking or the resulting ideas or arrangements of ideas. Similar concepts include cognition, sentience, consciousness, and imagination. Because thought underlies almost all human actions and interactions, understanding it, its physical and metaphysical origins, processes, and effects have been a long-standing goal of many academic disciplines, including, among others, biology, philosophy, psychology, and sociology. Origin and usage. The word comes from Old English pot, gapot, from stem of pankin, to conceive of in the mind, consider. In common language, the word to think covers numerous and diverse psychological activities. It often refers merely to the act of being conscious of something, especially if that thing is outside the immediate environment. It made me think of my grandmother. It is sometimes a synonym for tending to believe, especially with less than full confidence. I think that it will rain, but I am not sure. At other times, it denotes the degree of attentiveness. I did it without thinking. Many other mental activities, many of which may shade into each other, can be covered by the word, such as evaluating, imagining, planning, and remembering. In common usage, thought is often attributed to animals, machines, other non-human objects, and phenomena. The exact meaning of such usage varies as well. In the case of non-human objects and phenomena, such usage represents anthropomorphism. As regards animals, how to what extent different animals think is and depends on the exact definition the word is given, so it may be taken literally or regarded as anthropomorphic. With machines, especially computers, its use may be an analogy to human thought. As the computer processes and evaluates information, though there is a debate about the possibility and definition of actual mechanical thought as well. Philosophy. Philosophy of mind is a branch of modern analytic philosophy that studies the nature of the mind, mental events, mental functions, mental properties, consciousness, and the relationship to the physical body, particularly the brain. The mind-body problem, i.e. the relationship of the mind to the body, is commonly seen as the central issue in the philosophy of mind, although there are other issues concerning the nature of the mind that do not involve its relation to the physical body. The mind-body problem. The mind-body problem concerns the explanation of the relationship that exists between minds or mental processes and bodily states or processes. The main aim of philosophers working in this area is to determine the nature of the mind and mental states, processes, and how, or even if, minds are affected by and can affect the body. Human perpetual experiences depend on stimuli, which arrive at one's various sensory organs from the external world, and these stimuli cause changes in one's mental state, ultimately causing one to feel a sensation, which may be pleasant or unpleasant. Someone's desire for a slice of pizza, for example, will tend to cause that person to move his or her body in a specific manner and in a specific direction to obtain what he or she wants. The question, then, is how it can be possible for conscious experiences to arise out of a lump of gray matter endowed with nothing but electrochemical properties. A related problem is to explain how someone's propositional attitudes, e.g. beliefs and desires, can cause that individual's neurons to fire and his muscles to contract in exactly the correct manner. These compromise some of the puzzles that have confronted epistemologists and philosophers of mind from at least the time of René Descartes. Biology. A neuron, also known as a neurone, or nerve cell, is an excitable cell in the nervous system that processes and transmits information by electrochemical signaling. Neurons are the core components of the brain, the vertebrate spinal cord, the invertebrate ventral nerve cord, and the peripheral nerves. A number of specialized types of neurons exist. Sensory neurons respond to touch, sound, light, and numerous other stimuli affecting cells of the sensory organs that then send signals to the spinal cord and brain. Motor neurons receive signals from the brain and spinal cord and cause muscle contractions and affect glands. Interneurons connect neurons to other neurons within the brain and spinal cord. Neurons respond to stimuli and communicate the presence of stimuli to the central nervous system, which processes the information and sends responses to other parts of the body for action. Neurons do not go through mitosis and usually cannot be replaced after being destroyed, although astrocytes have been observed to turn into neurons as they are sometimes pluripotent. Psychology. Psychologists have concentrated on thinking as an intellectual exertion aimed at finding an answer to a question or the solution of a practical problem. Cognitive psychology is a branch of psychology that investigates internal mental processes, such as problem solving, memory, and language. The school of thought arising from this approach is known as cognitism, which is interested in how people mentally represent information processing. It had its foundations in the Gestalt psychology of Max Wertheimer, Wolfgang Kohler, and Kurt Kafka, and in the work of Jean Piaget, who provided a theory of stages, phases that describe children's cognitive development. Cognitive psychologists use psychophysical and experimental approaches to understand, diagnose, and solve problems, concerning themselves with the mental processes which mediate between stimulus and response. They study various aspects of thinking, including the psychology of reasoning, and how people make decisions and choices, solve problems, as well as engage in creative discovery and imaginative thought. Cognitive theory contends that solutions to problems take the form of algorithms, rules that are not necessarily understood but promise a solution, or heuristics, rules that are understood but that do not always guarantee solutions. Cognitive science differs from cognitive psychology in that algorithms that are intended to stimulate human behavior are implemented or implementable on a computer. In other instances, solutions may be found through insight, a sudden awareness of relationships. In developmental psychology, Jean Piaget was a pioneer in the study of the development of thought from birth to maturity. In his theory of cognitive development, thought is based on actions, on the environment. That is, Piaget suggests that the environment is understood through assimilations of objects in the available schemes of action, and these accommodate to the objects to the extent that the available schemes fall short of the demands. As a result of this interplay between assimilation and accommodation, thought develops through a sequence of stages that differ qualitatively from each other in mode of representation and complexity of inference and understanding. That is, thought evolves from being based on perceptions and actions at the sensory-motor stage in the first 2 years of life to internal representations in early childhood. Subsequently, representations are gradually organized into logical structures which first operate on the concrete properties of the reality in the stage of concrete operations, and then operate on abstract principles that organize concrete properties in the stage of formal operations. In recent years, the Piagetian conception of thought was integrated with information processing conceptions. Thus, thought is considered as the result of information processing mechanisms that are responsible for the representation and processing of information. In this conception, speed of processing, cognitive control, and working memory are the main functions underlying thought. In the Neo-Piagetian theories of cognitive development, the development of thought is considered to come from increasing speed of processing, enhanced cognitive control, and increasing working memory. Psychoanalysts. ID, ego, and superego are the three parts of the psychic apparatus defined in Sigmund Freud's structural model of the psyche. They are the three theoretical constructs in terms of whose activity and interaction mental life is described. According to this model, the uncoordinated instinctual trends are the ID, the organized realistic part of the psyche is the ego, and the critical and moralizing function, the superego. The unconscious was considered by Freud throughout the evolution of his psychoanalytic theory a sentient force of will influenced by human desire and yet operating well below the perpetual conscious mind. For Freud, the unconscious is the storehouse of instinctual desires, needs, and psychic drives. While past thoughts and reminiscences may be concealed from the immediate consciousness, they direct the thoughts and feelings of the individual from the realm of the unconscious. For psychoanalysts, the unconscious does not include all that is not conscious, rather only what is actively repressed from conscious thought or what the person is averse to knowing consciously. In a sense, this view places thyself in relationship to their unconscious as an adversary, warning with itself to keep what is unconscious hidden. If a person feels pain, all he can think of is alleviating the pain. Any of his desires to get rid of the pain or enjoy something command the mind what to do. For Freud, the unconscious was a repository for socially unacceptable ideas, wishes or desires, traumatic memories, and painful emotions put out of the mind by the mechanism of psychological repression. However, the contents did not necessarily have to be solely negative. In the psychoanalytic view, the unconscious is a force that can only be recognized by its effects. It expresses itself in the symptom. Sociology. Social psychology is the study of how people and groups interact. Scholars in this interdisciplinary area are typically either psychologists or sociologists. Though all social psychologists employ both the individual and the group as their units of analysis. Despite their similarity, the psychological and sociological researches tend to differ in their goals, approaches, methods, and terminology. They also favor separate academic journals and professional societies. The greatest period of collaboration between sociologists and psychologists was during the years immediately following World War II. Although there has been increasing isolation and specialization in recent years, some degree of overlap and influence remains between the two disciplines. The collective unconscious, sometimes known as the collective subconscious, is a term of analytical psychology, coined by Carl Jung. It is a part of the unconscious mind, shared by a society, a people, or all humanity, in an interconnected system that is the product of all common experiences and contains such concepts as science, religion, and morality. While Freud did not distinguish between an individual psychology and a collective psychology, Jung distinguished the collective unconscious from the personal subconscious, particular to each human being. The collective unconscious is also known as a reservoir of the experiences of our species. In the definitions chapter of Jung's seminal work, Psychological Types, under the definition of collective, Jung references representations collectives, a term coined by Lucien Levi Bruhl in his 1910 book, How Natives Think. Jung says this is what he describes as the collective unconscious. Freud, on the other hand, did not accept the idea of a collective unconscious. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 Unported License, available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by-SA/3.0.